Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome to another episode of the GFP, and it's just the two of us tonight. But before we kick off, I'll introduce my co-host, Robert Haggis. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing well, thank you, Colin. The weather seems to have perked up in Hamburg after a very wet and grey January and February, even by Hamburg standards. The weather seems to have improved, and my mood with it as well. The stadiums are opening again in Germany, and things seem to be looking up, so... Yeah, things are going well. What about back in air?
It's not bad yet. It's getting brighter again. Looking forward to doing the podcast in daylight. Just thinking, like, it actually used to be 6:30 and we were recording in daylight. And I'm looking forward to those times again. I always like the springtime when the earlier nights start kicking in. And as you say, yeah, good positivity when you see the fans getting back in the stadiums. And I think that is a good point where we talk about the topic of this week's episode. I'm delighted to say that tonight we're reintroducing one of our favourite segments of the podcast. With capacities being restricted through the past few months, attending grounds in person is something that you and the other boys over in Germany have really had less opportunity to do over the past few months. But now things are gradually improving, that you're getting back into the habit. So tonight, Robert's going to tell us a wee bit about his experience in Halle as he saw a Dritte Liga encounter between Hallescher FC and Waldhof Mannheim. So let's start from the off. We always like to, when we're talking about the ground hopping experience, we always like to talk about the whole day. So did you get the train down? Because that's a bit of a trek from Hamburg, isn't it?
Well, it is. But what I realised on the train there was that this was my first game in person since we went to Rostock at the end of October. So it was actually quite a long time since I'd last been to a game in person, because November I was doing a few different other things on the weekend. And then, yeah, December and January, as we know, the fan numbers were quite limited in Germany. But sort of at the beginning of February, it looked like that towards the end of the month, more fans would be allowed. And so I looked at the fixtures for the weekend just gone and was considering Meppen against Osnabrück and Halle against Mannheim. And Deutsche Bahn had some very good offers on long distance travel, I think, to try and get some revenue after not many people have been traveling over sort of Christmas and January. And so I managed to get a ticket for €22 there and back from Hamburg to Halle, which was a pretty good deal, because like you say, it's quite a long way. I think it's a good sort of 400 kilometers, but it's quite a quick route really, considering how far it is. So it's 2 hours on the train from Hamburg to Berlin and then 1 hour on the train from Berlin to Halle. So 3 hours all in all, not too bad. And yeah, unfortunately I was on my own this time, so didn't have the company of Roy and George on the train, or yourself and Andrew. So it was a bit more quiet this time, but nonetheless, still a good journey.
That's a lot quicker than I would have thought. I'd have thought it would have been a good maybe 4 hours. I suppose considering the change time with getting the train from Berlin as well. I always think you sometimes forget about how big a place Germany is.
Yeah.
Some places that you consider really close, like I always considered Hamburg and Rostock really close together, but when we went, it took almost 3 hours. And I think the trains were pretty slow.
Yeah.
The ones that we took, we didn't like get the ICE or anything. Mm. So a journey like that seems like a mammoth thing, but that's good that it passed pretty quickly, changing in Berlin. I didn't realise that was your first game since the Hansa Rostock one. So you've not even been to any Crystal Palace games or anything like that when you've been back home?
No, so that's the thing. I didn't really realise it until I was on the train on Saturday and thought about it. But sorry, yeah, I think we were a bit unfortunate when we went to Rostock, because because it was a bank holiday and it was a Sunday, they were doing engineering works, because usually there is a direct train from Hamburg to Rostock. But yeah, that's sort of something I'm realizing at the moment as I'm trying to plan a few more away days, is just how far north Hamburg is, because it just rules out sort of pretty much anything in the southern half of Germany, especially with the relatively early kickoff times in the Dritte Liga and the Regionalliga, because it's sort of like 5 hours to Kaiserslautern or anything like that. So you need to be leaving Hamburg at like 7 o'clock in the morning or something to get there at midday if it's like a 2 o'clock kickoff. The last time I went to Palace was at the end of October, just before we went, just like the weekend before, you, yourself and Andrew were over in Hamburg. And over Christmas, because we generally spend Christmas with the family, and I don't think the Palace games, they didn't quite work. So yeah, it was actually the first game I've been to in person. But I'm sure you've been to quite a lot of air games in the meantime.
That's a strange thing. It feels like we're almost at different timelines, because I'm talking about Germany and it's so different to what it is over here. Like, we've just had, for the most part, full stadiums pretty much. Well, I say that with air crowds pretty much have allowed for full crowds, what we would get anyway. At the start, when we came at the start of the season, it was limited to 500, and then it was about 5,000, but air tend to get about just under 2,000 anyway, so that was fine. And then round about Christmas, they'd limited to 500 again when the rates increased again, and now it's pretty much back to full capacity. And then you've got Germany that pretty much haven't been full capacity, aside from the odd stadium like Hamburg, a couple of others, and really none of them have been full capacity the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and in that time, you've not had a lot of the things you'd consider positive about German football, like the organised support and the ultras and stuff like that. But I see that some of them are starting to come back now that this stadium rules are changing. Aue and Dresden fans, I think the organised support's returning. So I'm guessing Saxony, it must be near enough full capacity again. A lot of them are turning back to 75% or 25,000, which is a really positive sign. A shame the season's coming to an end soon. It almost feels like a bit of a waste, because then you've got another couple of months of summer where you probably could get full crowds, and it's not being able to benefit from that.
Yeah.
But arriving in Halle, what were your first impressions of the city? Because I suppose, like, when you're by yourself, you probably appreciate it a bit more, because you're not like just going and, I don't know, going to the nearest pub or whatever.
Yeah, not distracted by Roy and George's waffle.
Not distracted by Roy getting his card swallowed up by a bank machine.
Yeah, that's very true. Although that was my first impression of Halle as well, similar to us in Rostock, was that it was very quiet as well. My first impression was getting to Halle station, and the first thing I saw was about a group of 10 Halle fans with black North Face jackets and red hats on being searched by the police. That's a sure sign that football's back. And yeah, as we talked about on the podcast before, I'm a big fan of walking from the station, well, if possible, walking from the station to the ground, and it was a very nice one as well. Something I mentioned in the group chat, I'm a big fan of trams in cities, and that's a box that Halle managed to tick. Had a bit of a walk through the old town, and they had some very intricate signposts as well, with sort of gothic style writing, which I was a big fan of as well. And then walking to the ground, it's quite a small stadium. I think it's capacity of about 15,000, and it's one that sort of creeps up on you. It's not one where it's got sort of huge floodlights that you can see from miles around, sort of a bit like the Rostock one. But what I did like is it does have those low hanging floodlights that you sort of see in the east that I think Erfurt have, and Rostock as well. And the stadium was a bit nicer than I think. So I think when you watch the highlights on TV, it looks a bit sort of a bit sort of copycat I'm not sure what the right word is there.
Identical, yeah.
But on the outside, there, on in each corner, there's sort of some black bricks with the name Leune Kemi Stadion. So that was added a sort of bit of character to it. But yes, those sort of my first impression from Halle.
Yeah, I know what you mean when you say it's it looks a bit identical. But I always think, compared to say an English stadium, these grounds always look better because they've got the terrace in. There's not much separate. I don't know, like thinking of a Scottish ground that's just like sort of modern and compact, like Livingston or something, even, which is considered quite a plastic sort of ground, how much better it would be if, like, behind the goal, a full end was standing, and that's where, like, a vocal section of the support was. And you've got that in Halle, obviously, behind the ground. It's a fairly, like, for the size of ground, it's a fairly large section of terrace.
Yeah.
A good chunk of the fans gather. And then you've obviously got the away end in the opposite corner as well, which looks really good. I don't know if when you're at the stadium, did you interact much with the local fans?
No, yeah.
You're by yourself, you're probably a bit less sociable when you're like kicking about by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd say that my German's fairly good, but I had this problem at Union as well, because quite a lot of old lads there. And they were there sort of in their groups of five, drinking beer and talking to each other. And obviously you're sort of trying to overhear a conversation. And I have no idea what they're saying, just don't understand the accent at all. I think it's one of those things where sort of if you obviously lived in Halle and that kind of thing, you get used to it over time. But it's just one of those things, sort of speaking Hochdeutsch in Hamburg. It's just not something you're really used to. I quite enjoy going to football games on my own because you sort of get to choose what you want to do, and I don't know, sometimes it's nice being antisocial and that kind of thing, just being there for yourself. But yeah, so no, I didn't really have much interaction with the fans. I got into the stadium about an hour beforehand and got a Kirschdritzer beer, which is a sort of relatively local brewery. It's quite well known in Germany because it's a Schwarzbier. I don't actually know the English translation. It's like a dark beer. It's sort of halfway between beer and Guinness. And so that was a nice addition, although unfortunately they didn't have any personalized cups. I've got a nice collection of personalized cup, including a VfB Stuttgart one, which I'm currently drinking out of recording the podcast. So that was
I've got that exact cup. Is that the one with Ginchik and Takuma Asano in it?
it is, yeah.
Got that exact cup, yeah.
Wow, there we go. That's another thing that brings us together.
Schwarzbier. Is that a bit summer? I don't know if you've tried out Düsseldorf.
Out beer is a bit sort of like
very specific to Düsseldorf, but I don't know if it's maybe a similar idea.
Yeah, sort of in that direction. And they also did a Keller beer as well, which is, I think that might be more like out. I think this is where we're missing George, our beer expert. Because apparently during the first lockdown, he became a bit of a beer expert, learning about hops and that kind of thing. All I know is that I like the Keller beer and the Schwarz beer. So that was a nice change. Oh, and they also served Glühwein, which was an interesting twist, because especially in the UK, you only know that as sort of a pre-Christmas drink, but it seems to be something they serve.
Is that like mulled wine?
Yeah, it's like mulled. It's pretty much exactly the same. Yeah,
I always just assumed that. Wasn't actually sure if that was the direct translation though. So we had your beer. Did you try any food? Any vegetarian options?
No, I was quite hungry by the time I got to the station because I didn't have much breakfast. So I got something in Halle station, and I'm pretty sure it was bratwurst only country. So I think there wasn't a huge amount of options for veggies.
No vegetarian options in Saxony-Anhalt.
No, exactly. That's something you've got to assume. But yeah, so the time I did have on the train, not listening to Roy and George wittering on, I managed to read about, because Halle actually have one of the oldest ultra groups in Germany called the Saale Front, but they weren't at the game because, as you alluded to before, quite a lot of German ultra groups, they either say we're not coming if you need to be fully vaccinated, or we're not coming if stadiums aren't full capacity. And so I assume they're one of those. So they'd actually taped off about sort of the front five or six rows, just right behind the goal, and they'd put a banner there saying something like, we're not returning until all fans are allowed back, or something like that. Or so they weren't there, and the Mannheim Ultras weren't there. So that was a bit disappointing. But the one thing I would say is that the atmosphere didn't suffer because of it. I mean, it would have been better if they would have been there. But I think compared to sort of like the Haasfeld game that we went to, the fans who aren't there, who aren't ultras, are still quite passionate and still get the songs going. And it definitely helped that they started the game quite well.
Did they, I know we've sort of talked about this before, how Eastern clubs, a lot of them still refer to themselves as sort of the names of the period. Did they really chat like Kemi Hala and stuff like that?
That's a very good point, and it's in fact one of my notes that I've put in bold to mention, because quite a lot of the chants that they sung, they referred to themselves as Kemi Hala, and also it seemed to be almost Shemi Hala. It also seemed like an SC at the beginning as well. So that was quite interesting. But yeah, that's a very good point, Colin.
Yeah, so it's a good point. Sorry, I like moved on from that a wee bit, but like different accents, because I don't know, as a non-German speaker, you just sort of think of it always the same, you know, imagine different dialects and stuff. So it's an issue you don't really think about. You think once you've learned the language, that's you. Obviously, when I was over in Hamburg, I saw you interact with other German folk and just spoke fine. but just, I don't know, 3 hours later, three hours in one direction of the country, you're like not understanding them. It's quite an interesting thing that these, I suppose, like sort of more provincial areas more likely to have stronger dialects than cities such as Hamburg, but quite interesting. And Shemi, and yeah, I've heard like words like, I don't know, you know, like Chemnitz. I would say Chemnitz, but like I've heard them being referred to as Chemnitz before as well. So it shows how the accents change. I mean, it was a good atmosphere and everything you said about Hala starting the game quite well. Was it quite an entertaining game in general?
Particularly the first half was, yeah. Sherbakovsky put Hala in front after about 10 minutes or so. And it definitely seemed to improve the atmosphere. And Hala started particularly well. I thought it was a sort of typical Dritte Liga game where both sides looked more comfortable on the break. They had a few problems trying to play the ball around and trying to keep the ball and sort of break teams apart like that. And yeah, both teams looked more dangerous on the counter-attack. And so yeah, particularly in the first half, it was a good game. I think Mannheim were perhaps slightly lucky to go in at the break 1-0 because Pascal Zulm scored just before halftime. And then just after the break, because Haller had a really good run of form, I think I carried on the GFP curse because they were unbeaten 5 beforehand and they won last night against Victoria Berlin as well, and so that's the only game that they've lost recently, and I was there. But they seemed to not quite fall apart in the second half, but they didn't seem to get their passing going at all. And the winning goal for Mannheim was when they tried to play it out from the back and played it straight to a Mannheim player who played in Joseph Boyamba, who slotted in very nicely for the winning goal. And I was particularly impressed by him. I think he's 25 or 26, was in Schalke and Dortmund's academy, but never really quite made a breakthrough. But I thought he was really good and could definitely make the step up into the Zweite Liga if Mannheim don't do it themselves.
Yeah, he looks like a good player. I remember he played pretty well against Frankfurt when they beat them in the Pokal at the start of the season. And it was an entertaining game, which isn't always a guarantee with Dritte Liga, to be honest. I know you went to a complimentary about Osnabrück and Zwickau, but It's a it's a league I've never actually witnessed. So that definitely needs to change. I would definitely quite like to go to one of these sort of like lesser known grounds, lesser travelled grounds. Obviously, far more likely to go to games around about like big cities, Berlin, Hamburg. But going to these places and seeing a game in the lower leagues is always a good option. I mean, if it's only about an hour from Berlin on the train, then it is sort of something that's doable. If you go maybe a Hertha game on the Saturday, if Halle were playing the Sunday, it would be a pretty good option. And I've recently been, one of the books I got for Christmas with the, what's it called again? Turning Season, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
The season about the 89-90 DDR Oberliga season, where it goes around like sort of all the clubs, the 14 clubs that were in the league that year.
Yeah.
When the Berlin Wall fell, the writer Michael Wagg sort of tours around each one in each chapter, and like speaks to some of the locals and you get an idea of like the clubs and where they've come now. But Halle were one of the clubs that are sort of actually relatively successful in recent years, were sort of regional leagues in the aftermath of reunification, but the last few years have been fairly consistent in Drittliga. So that is, and they obviously got a new stadium pretty recently as well, which is, it's always decent to see one of the former clubs from the DDR actually within the professional leagues. So many of them are still languishing regional leagues. A shame that you cursed them.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
in ways last night.
Well, something we've sort of talked about as well before, but I mean, we feel quite strongly about Hansa Rostock and definitely want them to stay in the zweite Bundesliga this year, because it is really good to have teams from the former East in the Bundesliga, in the zweite Bundesliga, in the dritte Liga as well. And yeah, I mean, they've won sort of five of their last six or something like that, and so they're on 35 points now, so I don't think there's much chance of them getting relegated, so it seems to be okay. But yeah, that was definitely gonna be one of my points towards the end, that I would definitely recommend it. And like you say, it could work quite well as a ground hopping weekend if you're going to Berlin, or even I was having a look today, but you can actually fly to Dresden from London as well with Ryanair. So if there are any listeners sort of in and around London, that could definitely be an opportunity. Yeah, going to see Dresden or any of the sort of teams in the former East on the Saturday or even on the Sunday, and then obviously you've got Lokomotiv Leipzig and Chemie Leipzig as well, Zwickau, Chemnitz, like you were saying. So there's definitely lots of options in that region, which has possibly been a bit unexplored. And so something I was thinking as well, because my train from Berlin was to Frankfurt, so it's only like 2 hours away from Frankfurt as well. So I think Frankfurt is a bit more well connected in terms of flights to Scotland and to the UK and that kind of thing. So it's definitely a possibility. And just one point, sort of going back to the game, was something that hit me on the train home as well that I didn't sort of realize at the time, was there's not any VAR in the third division, and so people were actually properly celebrating when the goals went in, which was a bit of a strange emotion to have after the past sort of, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years it's been in the Premier League and the Bundesliga. So I'm sure the rest of us would agree, but VAR needs to be scrapped as soon as possible.
That's a sort of relevant observation, actually, because in Scottish football, they're starting to trial VAR, which I think is definitely the wrong decision, because I think the absence of VAR is something that should be celebrated, the sort of spontaneous celebration of goals, which has been lost in the Premier League and Bundesliga. You only really had to watch the Hamburg Werder Bremen game the other day just to see how much VAR can interfere. Even if it's the right decision, eventually the amount of goals scored and then celebrated but not fully celebrated because you don't know whether it's counted or not, and then eventually if something gets disallowed, it just sort of takes away some of the emotion from the game, which I always see is worse than getting the correct decisions, because I don't see why football has to be a sort of exact science where referees get the correct decision all the time, because half the time it's a judgment call anyway.
Yeah.
And particularly with offsides, I think, I always think, see when you see offsides and they're drawing the lines and stuff like that, just to see if the player's offside or not, at that point, the benefit of the doubt should go to the attacker, because if it's that marginal, then why? If it's that marginal, then the goal should stand. If you have to like look at it so magnified, then I don't see why it needs to be so precise. That's not the theme of our episode. I could rant about VAR. The main thing I was going to say was coming to Scotland, where it's something that I'd enjoy us not having, being able to celebrate goals and stuff without that fear. But that's unfortunately potentially going to change. But something that German football lower league still enjoys not having, because the majority of fans don't want it. Mm. It just seems to be the authorities that push for it. Not clubs might want it.
And the armchair fans probably, who are sort of a vocal.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. Mm. It sort of suits it's like a TV spectacle.
Almost. Yeah, exactly.
It makes it exciting. It's something, I mean, it can be, but it doesn't suit the match going fan, because half the time they've got no idea when the TV fan has an advantage over the paying fan that's actually at the game. I don't think that's particularly right.
Mm.
But that's a good point.
But yeah, so just the last point on to go back to Haller before we get sidetracked was the city's really nice as well, and this is another point we've touched on before, but in Rostock as well, and I think quite a lot of people who live in sort of the former West and that kind of thing have never really been to many cities in the former East, probably other than Berlin. And so people at work and things like that were saying, oh, why are you going to Haller, which is a perfectly legitimate question, but they're sort of saying, oh, it's not a particularly nice city. But again, it's sort of confounding my expectations, and the city centre was really pretty as well. So I think, it's definitely a recommendation from me, not just as a day out, not just for the football, but also as somewhere to go. And I think if people are listening, sort of don't always think about the preconceptions you have about the East, and you'll definitely have a great time if you go. So yeah, it's had a very nice market square, and the sort of old town with a few cathedrals and a very nice town hall. So yeah, it was surprisingly pretty, and I very very much enjoyed my day out. Only 12 euros for a standing ticket as well, which is obviously another big bonus of German football.
Big bonus of particularly the sort of size of clubs, like sort of Drittliga clubs, where it's easier to get a standing ticket. But even so, even though you're able to get a ticket, there's still a great atmosphere in most cases as well. There is a sort of, I don't know, I think because there seems to be a snobbery about Eastern places, it sort of feeds through to maybe UK German football fans as well. They sort of go into thinking that there was the preconception that it's going to be like a horrible city just because it's in the East. But I mean, you've been to Halle and Rostock that have both sort of proved that wrong.
Mm.
So I always think, like, even the cities in Germany that are sort of notoriously poor or not known as particularly nice places, the Altstadt or the city centre always is pretty nice, to be honest. Mm. In most cases, yeah, I suppose you don't really know until you actually visit. When it's a place like Halle that isn't particularly touristy, sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. That seems like the case. So moral of the story is don't judge these places until you go, and you might actually see a nice game of football in a good stadium between two Drittliga clubs that are managed to create a nice atmosphere. So
exactly,
that's it's always as good being able to talk about this again, though. I think sort of missed that last few months in the podcast. It was always good to talk about, I mean, usually in the sort of northern part of Germany, but I think it's always a pleasant change when it's a new place, somewhere that's a bit less well known. And I think that will probably be quite refreshing for the listeners as well, being able to focus on Halle and hearing about that, and might even have a few interested visitors.
Yeah, and I stayed after the game, stayed a bit longer because the barriers in front of where you were standing they were all very clean with no stickers on. So I was waiting until everyone had gone, so they didn't notice me putting the Help for Your sticker on. So I don't know if Fergal's listening and if he'll if he goes to Haller, if it'll still be there. But I'm hoping it is. And it was a sticker from the former Eastern Germany version of the fanzine. So, and when I arrived home, my copy of the new Help for Your was in my post box. So a perfect day all around, ready to read Colin's article on his trip to the north.
Yep. Article 3, issue 9. If you want to read it, visit Help for Your fanzine on Twitter, and then there'll be the link to buy the fanzine, and the rest you can enjoy and read. So that's always a good advert for Help for Your, but the sticker particularly. I just want to turn up to one of these grounds and just see the sticker randomly. that would be quite good. Almost as random as going to the Volkspark Stadium that we were and dishing out the John McGinn stickers. Like Andrew.
that is actually what I was thinking about, how Andrew's, was it Ryan Christie sticker? Oh, no, wait, no, it was John McGinn, wasn't it? Lasted about 2 hours or something. And I feel like that may
there's
be the
one,
case.
There's one above the sticker. Urinal, I can't remember.
Yeah, but there's one, no, actually, because I did one in the stadium. I did a healthier one in the stadium, but I did one in the market square as well, on sort of like a traffic sign. So maybe that will last a bit longer, I don't know. But so after the action at the weekend, we have then had a very exciting midweek round of fixtures in the DFB podcast. Is there a particular fixture that stood out to you, Colin, that you watched yesterday and on Tuesday night?
I thought it was a brilliant round from what I saw, really. I mean, I saw three of the four games. I didn't watch Hannover Leipzig, and to be honest, looking at the scoreline, that was probably the one that you would want to miss. Just really entertaining games. For a highlight, I would probably pick out the Haasfeld-Karlsruhe game. I thought that was brilliant. Talks about the increased attendances in the games. Some of the atmospheres were great. It was something from before COVID, like the Hamburg and Karlsruhe atmosphere, good away support. I'm not sure how many Karlsruhe fans there were, but it looked like a good over a thousand anyway, I think. Considering the journey for a Wednesday night was really good, and they made a decent noise along with the home fans. It was an entertaining game as well. Karlsruhe made a great start, obviously going 2-0 up. I don't know, the second goal seemed to almost make them panic. Thought they had one foot in the semi-final, and I don't know if the pressure got to them. Haasfeld had a really good response to going 2-0 down, getting the goal back pretty quickly. And eventually they got through, even though struggling through extra time against 10 men when Kobald got sent off. But I thought that was a weird decision, though. I don't know if you saw the Haasfeld-Karlsruhe game. It was Felix Fire. There was a ref. It was a VAR decision. It looked like it was meant to be a shove at the back post. Glatzel went down for a penalty. But to me, it was just a sort of barge into him. And he went down. Zweier initially awarded the penalty. The VAR officials told him to check it again. So he went over to the screen and stuck to his decision and ended up giving Kobald the yellow card. That was his second yellow, so he got sent off. And it was not ruined after that, because Karlsruhe still sort of held their own a bit, but I think they tied an extra time, and if it had been 11 against 11, might have given Hamburg a bigger problems in extra time. Eventually it went to penalties anyway, and Haasfeld got through.
That was, in fact, the bit that I did watch. I saw the game was going to penalties, so I turned on to watch penalties. And very impressive. Something I was talking to Roy about, because when I was at Haasfeld, Hoyer Fernandez was a bit, he was certainly a good shot stopper, but he wasn't particularly commanding and didn't seem to have much self-confidence. But he seems to have really improved this year. Roy was suggesting that it might have been due to his Haasfeld Live interview that he did with Johansson, who was bigging himself up and trying to provide competition. But no, I think definitely having sort of a quality number two, and perhaps him feeling a bit more confident now he's into his third year at Hamburg. But no, a very impressive result for Haasfeld. And did you, what about the Union game on Tuesday night?
That was another really good one in terms of a really entertaining game as well, but in terms of the atmosphere as well, proper away support and good noise from the home fans as well. Something I enjoyed. And I think it's always makes for an entertaining game when the underdog takes the lead, like St. Pauli did relatively early on. Free kick from Daniel Kofi Kiri after about 20 minutes. Thought the keeper could have done better for it, but it was still a good free kick, and it set up the game quite well. But Union obviously came back into it, Becker getting the equaliser, and is it a shame? I mean, two of the games were sort of settled by mistakes. Union against St. Pauli, was St. Pauli defenders whose name escapes me. Medic, I think, slipped for Vogelsammer to get through. I think it was Medic. Slipped and Vogelsammer got through for the winner. And then similarly for Bochum against Freiburg, it was Leitch made the mistake and Freiburg got through and scored right at the end of extra time. That was the Union St. Pauli was an entertaining game as well. I would say like Bochum, just moving on to Bochum and Freiburg, it wasn't quite as thrilling as the other games I saw during the round, but it did have that dramatic finish. And I would say it's quite nice to see Christian Streich get to a semi-final.
Definitely. And so the last four is Freiburg, HSV, Leipzig and Union. I think we'd all agree that Leipzig are the favourites for it, but who would you say is your dark horse?
I think, yeah, Leipzig are the favourites. I think they're now going to have a better chance to win the first major trophy. I think the team that's most likely to stop them is Freiburg. Got a feeling about, although Union are probably the next in line, you'd say have a chance to stop them ahead of HSV, Zweite Liga side. But I've just got a feeling that Freiburg having a really good season, and they've got the capabilities. I think it depends on the draw, really. I think if Leipzig get a home draw against anyone, I would fancy them just to get through
in
quite a straightforward fashion. But away to Freiburg, that would be quite an even tie, I think. So until the draw is made, I suppose you don't really know. But if it works out favourably with a home draw for one of these teams, they've got a fair shout of getting to the final.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Union have quite a good record against Leipzig, particularly at home as well. Because you think about their qualities lie in sort of playing on the break with their pace, Nkunku, Dani Olmo, Silva, those kind of players. And if they're playing at the Alte Försterei, where the pitch is a bit smaller, Ursfischer can compress it, fighting for every ball. But then again, you have to see, because it's, I think, a month and a half until the semi-finals, and Union may have decided to let a few more players go who perhaps aren't fighting for the shirt as much. So we'll see. But Roy is definitely hoping for a home semi-final for HSV, and I think George as well, so he can get a free ticket. But yeah, is there anything more you? Oh well, I guess possibly the last question for the podcast is: do you think HSV can bring a surprise?
Again, I think it really depends on the draw. I mean, usually for a Zweite Liga side against the Bundesliga side, you would favour the top flight team to get through. But HSV sort of, I don't know, because you sort of still consider them on a bit of a level with some of the smaller clubs in Bundesliga. They do have good players that can score goals like Glatzel and Kato. In terms of if they get a home draw against Union, then I think that would be quite a close encounter. You have to say they are the team that's the longest odds for getting through. But
yeah,
particularly, I think it was a really good atmosphere last night, and if they get another home draw and hopefully a full stadium by then, they'll fancy themselves to get through. And I think that's sort of something with Union as well. If they've got the prospect of a full stadium for the final in Berlin at their rival stadium, that's like a massive motivation for them despite the problems I've had the past sort of couple of months with players leaving, Cruza really the best player not being there anymore. They are the sort of team that you can see as a good cup side with the fans sort of driving them on in a one-off game, and that having a final in Berlin would be something just I think they would relish so much that you have to give them a bit of a chance. Just in general, like saying about Union, the full stadium, I think it would be great to see a full ground. Just imagine like the Olympia Stadium with two evenly split halves of fans would be just a great sight. Like the colours and everything, something that's been missing in the past two Pokal finals, maybe even, is it three? Three Pokal finals in a row have been empty stadiums. And even those, in terms of like the sides, it's not really been a particularly interesting final. I think the first one was Bayern Leverkusen, the second one was Dortmund and Leipzig, so sort of like the same old clubs that would be getting to the final anyway. But consider it, like say Leipzig get knocked out and it's two sides that you just wouldn't have expected in the final, like Hamburg against Freiburg or something like that, and seeing those two clubs fill out the stadium, I think that would be brilliant and like a massive return to normality. It's something that would be just almost like a historic event, I think. I would really look forward to that. It'd be a shame. I mean, it's a shame if it's just, it feels like a waste when Bayern do get knocked out that it's Leipzig that are heavy favourites to win, because you feel like it's a good chance for one of these smaller sides to finally get a trophy. I mean, the last 10 years, the only sides apart from Dortmund and Bayern that have won have been Wolfsburg and Frankfurt. So a side like Frankfurt winning again would be something that would be a good, like really refreshing, I think. So if it was one of the other sides apart from Leipzig, it would be a big plus for German football, I think.
Mm. I think just for the pure comic value, it'd be funny for Haasfeld to win the cup and not get promoted, and they're playing in Europe next season in the second division. I think that would be even the purest form of Haasfeld that we'd ever seen.
It would be funny to see Haasfeld as a Vita League side, like Conference League, playing a Scottish team, like Roy. St Mirren sneaking into the Conference League somehow or something like that, and then Roy has to choose between Haasfeld and St Mirren.
Yeah, posting still game references against Ludogorets on a Thursday night.
Oh yeah, he's like retweeting Rangers tweets, like anti St Mirren tweets. That would probably destroy him. But
yeah, I think so.
So that just about finishes off the episode. A short episode, I think. It seemed, and I think we'd planned for it being slightly shorter, but we've managed to squeeze out some good content there. Good discussion on Robert's trip to Halle, some of the Pokal action, and different sidetrack discussions on VAR and East German cities. But thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, Robert, and we will see you soon.
Ciao.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Meine Damen und Herren.